Hello and welcome to Lights, Camera, Community Action, a podcast brought to you by the New York State Community Action Association, or NISCA for short. My name is Heidi Barcombe, Program and Communications Director for NISCA. NISCA is the State Association for New York's Community Action Agencies, commonly known as CAAs. NISCA's mission is to strengthen the capacity of the Community Action Network to address the causes and conditions of poverty. NISCA was created in 1987 to provide CAAs in New York with professional development opportunities, training, and technical assistance. NISCA is the hub that brings together community action agencies in New York to network, share successes and challenges, and strategize to meet the needs of vulnerable New Yorkers. A community action agency, or CAA, is a local organization with the mission of reducing poverty through locally designed and delivered programs and services targeted to the specific needs of their community. The 47 CAAs in New York form a statewide service delivery system that connects individuals and families to the services they need to achieve economic status. When it comes to moving folks from poverty to self-sufficiency, community action agencies know what works. Today, we'll be talking with three Community Action Agency staff members who have all participated in NISCA's Emerging Leaders Institute. You may hear us refer to the Emerging Leaders Institute as ELI 1.0 and 2.0. ELI 1.0 began in 2010 to provide high-quality leadership training to build and enhance the capacity of future leaders in community action agencies. In 2011, ELI 2.0 was established to support those 1.0 graduates in taking their skill set higher. The ELI model involves three sessions throughout the year, each being a two-day seminar, which incorporates formal training, mentoring, and peer network opportunities. ELI 2.0 participants develop leadership skills by identifying a community need and creating a project to address the need. Projects follow the ROMA cycle, a model used by community action agencies to develop and assess programs and goals. ROMA stands for Results-Oriented Management and Accountability. Today, we are speaking with three recent ELI 2.0 graduates who will share their story with you and talk about their ELI 2.0 projects. First, let's welcome Melinda.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melinda Daniels. I am the Executive Assistant and Compliance Officer of Community Action of Orleans and Genesee. We service over two counties. I've been with my agency for 6 years now.
Thank you so much for being here with us, Melinda. Andrea, will you jump in next?
Yes. Hi, my name is Andrea Bernard, and I am the Family and Youth Service Manager at Peace Incorporated, Eastside Family Resource Center. And I've been with Peace Incorporated for over 13 years combined, but in my current role for 2.5 years.
Thank you so much. And Peace serves the Syracuse community primarily, correct?
That's correct. We serve Onondaga County.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Janelle.
Will you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Janelle Hartwell. I am the Community Services Director at Delaware Opportunities. I have been with Delaware Opportunities for going on 16 years. My first 14 years were working in direct service. In the last 2 years, I've been working as a department director. And Delaware Opportunities, we are the community action agency that serves Delaware County.
Thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate that. I want to jump right in and ask each of you to talk a little bit about what prompted you to join ELI 1.0.
This is Melinda Daniels, and I was prompted. I received an email from NISCA, and I read the email, looked into the information. I was very intrigued when I read about ELI, and my goal is to be the best employee that I can be for my agency. So this was going to be a learning opportunity, and this opportunity was really going to help me move forward and advance in my knowledge of my agency, NISCA as a whole, and just learn more and how I can be better and do better.
Now, this is Andrea Bernard. I could jump in. For me, I had just started back at the agency, and I was in this new role, and I was voluntold about this program and that I needed to sign up for it. And I could say that I'm happy that I was voluntold about this opportunity. I've definitely learned and grown from the experience with ELI 1.0.
And this is Janelle Hartwell. For me, it was a culmination of a lot of different things. So as I had said in the introduction, I worked for quite a few years here at Delaware Opportunities in direct service. And through that, I had grown into an upper management position. But in doing that, I felt that there was really a need for me to get some in-depth leadership skills. I had done a leadership cohort here that was offered by our executive director here at the agency. And when I had seen this come from NISCA, I was like, this is an amazing opportunity to continue my leadership growth and my professional development. I did really well with the client side of things, but I really thought I could, you know, enhance my skills on the programmatic and the side of thing that could help me be a better leader in my position now being in a management position and a supervisory position. And one of the things coming into my position is I don't have any formal education. I have zero college education. So one of the things I have worked extremely hard in my whole professional life is taking on opportunities that I can to enhance myself and to ensure that I am doing the best that I can for myself, my family, my profession. And in doing that, you know, this was an amazing opportunity and a challenge for me to take on to be able to do that and continue to enhance that. And I think it's in community action. That's what we stand for. You know, we are helping people become better people. And for me, I feel that I am a success of that myself. And this was just an opportunity that ELI brought to me to continue that professional development.
And so ELI 1.0 ends. You've learned a lot through that session, and you know, you had opportunity to move forward into 2.0, knowing that you would extend those learning opportunities and have the opportunity to create a project for your community. So I'm curious, because not everybody chooses to go to 2.0, so I'm curious what prompted each of you to join ELI 2.0?
I think I'll jump in. For me, it was the continued opportunities, the continued leadership opportunities, and having the opportunity as a challenge, I saw it for myself to take those learning experiences and make it into a project. A nerve-wracking opportunity, because then you have to present that project to your peers in the group and you have to work through the ROMA cycle. At the same time, I was working to become a ROMA implementer. So I was doing both at the same time, and being able to see how they coincide together, I felt was very challenging. And given that opportunity to enhance your leadership skills in a higher level in 2.0 was really amazing for me.
And for me, I did not want 1.0 to end. The relationships, the information, the support that I felt attending the meetings, I wanted that to continue, the networking. And so when I saw 2.0 was an option, I jumped right on it. I was not voluntold. I was like, yes. Now the project, I did not know at that time, but it pushed me to grow a little bit more in what I'm doing. So 2.0, I'm ready for 3.0.
This is Melinda Daniels. I agree with Andrea and Janelle. My expectation through 1.0, you know, was to learn and get as much knowledge as possible to make me a better employee, have me be a better person to represent our agency, our community. Once we were into that, it was a no-brainer. To ELI 2.0, that was a deeper dive, and we were going to take this the next step forward. I was very excited, and I agree with Andrea. I would love ELI 3.0 or an alumni group, the connections, the networks. And then the more we delved into that, that also brought to light the NISCA affinity groups, and I belong to some of those. I am so lucky and so appreciative to have these groups of people that do similar roles to me, and I'm not constantly reinventing the wheel. If I need something, I reach out to my connections or my group, and 9 times out of 10, one of them has a template, or we brainstorm. It's actually, I guess the best way I can describe it is I finally feel like I'm working smarter and not harder.
That's a great point. So I want to talk a little bit about the 2.0 projects, and I just want to kind of talk about that. These are projects that anybody entering 2.0 knows they're going to participate in, but it is sort of a blank slate. You are choosing your project based on what your community needs. And in doing so, you are following the ROMA cycle, that results-oriented management and accountability cycle that community action agencies base their work on. So Melinda, can you fill us in a little bit about that ROMA cycle and what that process is?
So the ROMA cycle is very helpful within our agencies, but it's also very helpful. These are things that we're doing in our everyday lives. We just don't stop to take a step back and analyze things. We're doing it, we're analyzing, but we don't look at it that way. So these projects, we needed to use the ROMA cycle. So we needed to assess the community need. We needed to plan for that need, come up with strategies, and implement what we were going to do, then review the results to see if we were successful or not, regroup if we needed to, by evaluating the process. It's a really good tool. And when you think about the assessing, the planning, the implementing, the results, and then you reevaluate, it is what we do every day. Every day we go to work, this isn't working. I need to reassess. I need to replan. I need to re-implement. I need the results. And if this is working, that's my evaluation. So the ROMA cycle is a very good tool, and it was very helpful with our projects.
Thank you so much. So you each had your own project that you created to improve your community and address a specific community need. And they were all quite different and really great programs or projects. So I'm going to ask you if you can share what your project was and what your specific need in your community was that you wanted to address. Andrea, you had a really great one. And I know that you really had to use the ROMA cycle because you ran into some roadblocks as you went along, correct?
That is correct. It over and over, the ROMA cycle. Yes.
Will you share your project with us?
Yes. Yes, Heidi. My project is called Wash Out Absent. And what prompted me to put this project together was one of my students. So my site has a program that is a partnership with the school district. And the kids who are suspended come to my building and they get their, it's like a home-based program. And a young man was absent very often. And part of my job is to call and follow up with why, what's going on. And the reason the young man was not coming to school is because he did not have clean clothing. And immediately, I went to Walmart, purchased something for him to come to school the next day, but knowing this is not something that could be done, continually done. And so came up with the idea of washing, how we could support the families by getting their clothes washed. And so that was how I assessed it, that he could not be the only student that is going through this. And then I started the planning phase. And I had recently left the district, the school district, and I had a coworker who I contacted and said, how could you help me support this initiative that I would like to put together, knowing that my agency would not have funding to provide the washing of the clothes for the families. And so we came up with 5 different schools. So she helped me reached out to the five schools that is at high risk for attendance issues. And the goal was to work with 10 families from each one of those schools, plus the kids that are at Eastside Family Resource Center, to get them to a laundromat weekly to get their clothes washed with the intention that they will attend school. And once we tried to implement that, connected with Colony Laundromat, which is a local laundromat here in Syracuse in Onondaga County, their prices could not work with what we could offer. And this is how stuff is so mysterious, that the district had funding, extra funding that they needed to spend so they would be able to support this project. So we decided, we reached out to Classic City, and they had agreed to help us, to work with us, to partner with us to help these families. Our goal was 50 families. We had reached out to 100 families at this point, just word of mouth, talking about it, sitting at tables, talking about what we wanted to do. And also, the district has staff that helped contacted those families that were missing school. We were all gung-ho, ready to go, have contracts set up where the family signed, yes, my kid is going to come to school. Yes, they're going to, we provided that the Classic City will go to their house. We gave them bags to put their dirty clothes in. They will wash it, fold it, and return it to them. And then it did not work.
Families, so you had to reassess.
Reassess, yes. It did not work. Families, 18 of those families had agreed and signed a contract. And then Classic City will arrive at their door and the clothing is not outside. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, once again, going back to the drawing board, what could we do differently? And after that reassessment, we reached out to high schoolers. So high schoolers and now out of the five school, high schoolers are more tend to wash their own clothes, right? Their parents are not usually doing it for them. And once again, we got a few. We got a handful that agreed. They had their parents' support and they got it done. But it has not come to the full what our vision when this was put together. Thought it was such an awesome idea, how many families we could help, helping them have clean clothes, helping them to get to school. And after, I think it was April, May, we decided that we're going to have to figure out what we could do. We'll have to assess again in the fall, right, and start planning again. And what could we do differently?
And I think that that assessment piece that you're talking about is so important, that reevaluating. And I'm going to jump to Melinda for a minute, because I think that you had a situation with an existing program that you had to start with that assessment and evaluation of, correct?
Absolutely. So my project was called Angels in Action, the Guiding Light Project. Angels in Action was a committee that was formed, fizzled out, and reinvented due to this project. The Guiding Light actually is the name of the project, and that was an idea that I had because my agency and my community needs assessment was showing that the highest need was domestic violence. So I chose domestic violence shelters to support. The ultimate goal was for us to put together backpacks for all ages and all genders, men, women, whatever the case was. And we wanted to have items readily available, change of clothes, personal care items, emergency items. If you had to leave your home and be relocated and you made it to that destination spot, you would have a backpack with the basic needs, at least to get you through the next 24 hours. So I just put some feelers out there, and ultimately we ended up with 16 individuals that wanted to be a part of this committee and myself. So 15 plus myself, and everybody was on board with supporting domestic violence. The stats in the community, in my agency's community needs assessment, in Orleans County, there's a total of 180 domestic violence victims. And in Genesee County, there was a total of 405 domestic violence victims. And we service both counties. Not every single one of the domestic violence victims goes through the domestic violence shelter. But the shelter is something, I don't want to say that it's overlooked, because it isn't, but because it's quiet and you can't know the location, sometimes it's difficult for community members and organizations to make contact to donate basic needs. So we assess the situation, we form the committee, we went right into planning. What are we going to get? How are we going to support them? I reached out to both managers between the two counties and asked them, what is it that you need? Because both counties are very different. The needs in Orleans County are very different than the needs in Genesee County. So now I'm trying to make both counties, how can we provide what they need when they're very different? So we went into the planning phase. We came up with a good plan. We knew their needs between both counties. So then we decided, okay, now we're going to implement. So we started meetings. We came up with a logo. Everybody was doing their part and everybody was doing something. And we ended up providing 40 families between two counties that actually went into the domestic violence shelters with the supplies that they needed. We received a donation of 200 backpacks. So we needed multiple items for various ages. So obviously toothbrush, toothpaste, a change of clothes, some clean underwear, basic needs. And then you think, then we got into thinking about the age groups. Okay, babies need formula, babies need diapers. These homes, these domestic violence shelters, they need items too. It could be a coffee pot. It could be clean sheets for the beds. It could be towels, shampoo. So we just gathered items. And at the end of the project, we reassessed and we reevaluated. And ultimately, none of us wanted this to end. It was very, very positive. We were very appreciated for doing what we were doing. And just because it was a project, it couldn't end just because I met the goal of ELI. We wanted to continue with this. So to this day, I call monthly to the DV managers, and every month they come to my site and they pick up a van load of items. There's more and more community members involved in this. Word spread like wildfire. And the needs had changed. The basic things that we were sending were plentiful. But then it was brought to my attention, when you have to leave your home, no matter what hour, no matter what day, if you're being abused, typically you're going to try to call 911. You're going to try to call a family member. You're going to try to call somebody for help. So then it was brought to my attention, when those things happen, the abuser goes right for that person's phone and they want to break it. They want to throw it across the street, whatever the case may be, because they don't want you making that phone call.
What a great project. What a great need that you identified, not a great need, but a real serious need that you identified. And then through ELI 2.0 project, you were able to address that. And Janelle, I know that in your community, you had a very different approach and a different type of need. Can you talk to us a little bit about your project?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks, Heidi. So for us, Delaware County, similar to some of our partner agencies that are very rural, we are a very large county. So Delaware County is geographically the size of the state of Rhode Island, but we have no public transportation. So where our main office is located makes it difficult for people to get to us. And we had found, on coming out of the heels of COVID, We had found that one of the things COVID taught us is we could find other creative ways to reach out to people and meet them where they're at and be able to meet their needs in a way that doesn't mean that they have to come to us. So in doing that, I had the idea for my project, which was developing a satellite office. So having Delaware Opportunities go to one of our higher need communities that we were able to find through our community needs assessment and through our census, one of our higher need communities that we would be able to set up a satellite office to have Delaware Opportunities go there and bring us to them, which makes things a lot easier with the lack of public transportation. And some of it was the fear of people coming on the heels of COVID just being back out into the community is how we first started it. So in going through the Roma cycle in doing this, the planning phases were, and the assessing phase, I guess I'll start with the first thing was, we had noticed we had had less in-person people coming to our agency. Gone were the days that our lobby was full and people were coming here, and we had to figure out why, because we knew there was a need, right? We knew that there was still those same families still had a need, but they weren't coming to us. So, and we saw that there was an increased need of low-income people in the community, but we had to get creative of how we could still serve them, because a lot of the funding that was available during COVID was no longer available. So through this, I was able to start somewhat of a plan for what this would look like. And, you know, the first thing, of course, was just running it by our executive director of, what do you think? She was highly on board that, you know, it was a great idea, but our next barrier we thought might be a barrier is, where do we find a location to do something like that? And through the planning phases, we have a CDO workforce, a work development center right in the village where we started this. So I just asked them. They had also noticed that they had low numbers since coming out of the heels of COVID. People weren't coming back in for job readiness. They weren't, you know, they were just noticing. So it went much smoother than I had anticipated. They said, sure, when do you want to start? We have space available. We were able to get that started right away. And it worked as a great collaboration to allow not only our agency to get this to this area, but to partner with our program and with the program that was there, how, you know, we were able to work together and get that happening. And with the biggest barrier I will say that we ran into was just finding staffing. The satellite office is open every Tuesday. So we are open every Tuesday from 9 to 3. And a lot of my staff in the community services department do go there and they do work that. And staffing it once a week, I think that was a little bit of a big idea that I had. You know, it was a great idea. And at times it was a little bit difficult, but I have to say it's been amazing. We have gone through the process now. I can say the first month that we were able to do that was August of 2022. So going into almost a year, we have served 166 total families that have come in, and our goal was 10 a month. Now that 166 families, some of those are repeat families. I'm not unduplicating them, but I think that's a good thing to leave them the way they are, because it does show the success that people know that we're there, so they're coming back. So it's not just a one-time out of curiosity. They're realizing that we are seeing, they know that we're here, they're seeing that it's been successful, and they're coming back, and it's providing them an opportunity to, you know, if a program goes there and it may not be the program that they need, that program's able to help them make that connection and provide that warm handoff. If you come in specific for Head Start, let's say, but today housing is there, the housing staff can help you contact the Head Start people directly while you're there and provide that information, where you would otherwise have to travel upwards 45 minutes to an hour from where we are to our main office location. We are coming to them. It's been amazing as far as the opportunities we've been able to provide. But on the flip side now, going on to almost a year of this, I'm seeing where it's definitely provided an opportunity for the clients that we serve. But it's also provided an opportunity for our agency to have an increased collaboration with other community members and other opportunities in that community to make ourselves more aware, because believe it or not, some people don't always know who we are, what services we offer. So it's given us an opportunity to promote our agency and our community action agency and all of the different programs within the community. So it's been a win-win situation. We have been really fortunate, and, you know, I look forward into this. Like I said, this will be our first, it'll hit a year mark in August, and we will continue. So we're still continuing on.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm wondering, Andrea, if you can talk with us about, I know that you mentioned how many families have signed up. Do you have any information? And you might not, but I'm wondering if you have any information about school days missed or if this project is affecting school attendance.
The project is to help increase students to attend school because they're missing too many days of school.
Right. And do you know, are you getting feedback? Have you done any informal?
The feedback with the kids who did take part, their attendance is better, which helped with their classwork. So even at the end of the school year, their classwork was better.
That
just
is
just
great
from them
news.
Attending school.
That's
is a ripple
news.
Effect. I beat myself up a little because I wanted more. I wanted more because if they could just see that the little has it changed with the few who has followed through, that they too could be successful.
Right. One of the things I liked about your project is that it was initially for the students, but you do include the laundry for all the family, correct?
That is correct.
So, and then Melinda, and I'm wondering if you can talk to us a little bit about the number of backpacks you've handed out, if you've had any feedback.
So we have received feedback, I believe, roughly in total, I don't have the stats between both counties, one county versus another. There have been 40 families, whether it's a single adult female or male, or a male and or a female with children. There have been 40 adults served with the backpacks and the things that we have gathered and donated, and about 30 children. I have received feedback from some of the domestic violence shelter, the people that had to stay there. And they loved the diapers. They said the diapers were a lifesaver. There was one family that said the timing couldn't have been any more perfect. So that family really appreciated everything that they needed was readily available. And then we were even able to offer, once the family went and was able to safely leave the safe house and transition into an apartment, we were able to help this one individual with a vacuum cleaner, a coffee pot, some linens for the bedding, and some towels and washcloths for the bathroom. So far, everybody is very appreciative. It looks like we're definitely meeting a need, and we're just going to continue to do so.
Yeah. And Heidi, this is Janelle. I wasn't sure. I did do some outreach because one of the things I had not put into my plan was in getting those results and reassessing was we do programmatically, each program that we do does a customer satisfaction survey. So one of the things that I didn't think at the time, not knowing this would be successful or not, was coming up with a customer satisfaction survey to get some, you know, feedback of what they think works well, what doesn't. So without having that, in hindsight, I will start doing that moving forward as we reach our 1 year mark. But I was able to do some outreach and I was able to get some specific feedback. So if it's okay, I can just share a couple of exact things that people had given.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So one of them said, the fact that you're coming here saves me a lot. I probably wouldn't see anyone if I had to go to Delahaye or Hamden. And if you weren't in the satellite office on Tuesday, I never would have gotten the help. It was definitely very beneficial to me. A staff person had told me that their feedback was, we can reach out to many more people who were in need. This helps the client stress in a less scary situation than they may already be in. It lessens the stress on us for them to come out and help them get the services they may need. It helps them to understand the paperwork that they may not be able to do on their own, and we can explain it and help them fill it out more one-on-one. And then we got some very general, having DO, people call Delaware Opportunities DO, having DO here regularly is amazing. We can't thank you enough for coming. Over and over again, I get thanked for being here. Clients who don't have transportation are thankful because they can walk here. They're so appreciative of not just me, but the program being here in general. So I think it's been successful and, you know, meeting people when they're where they're at. And I do think in part of the whole Roma cycle, like I said, I do in hindsight, I wish I had implemented that as part of it, was in implementing people with giving us regular feedback. But so far we've had, it's been hugely successful.
That's really great feedback. And I want to switch gears for a minute, because, you know, the projects are all successful. You're clearly having a positive impact on your communities. And that is, you know, in human services and social work, that is a definite goal. But one of the goals of ELI is to help you be emerging leaders and develop your leadership skills. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you can talk about how participating in ELI 2.0 and creating these projects has helped you in your leadership development and in your career path.
And I'll jump in, Andrea. In my career path, I would say I was put on the agency and peace strategic team as one of the up and coming leaders in the agency to plan on what we're planning to do for the agency in the next 5 years. And to me, that is, I think is amazing that they even see that within me to assign me to be part of the strategic team for the agency, that they see the potential that is coming out of me from attending these leadership classes. They see, and not only the agency, but even I'm in a sorority. And so it's working work-wise and in me personally, seeing the growth that I have gained from being in part of this. So thank you.
Always so nice when your supervisors and higher ups recognize your growth and include you in projects, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
And Melinda, you've talked with me in the past about how you feel that participation in ELI has helped you grow. Can you share some of that?
Yes, absolutely. When I first started with my agency, I was an administrative assistant. And I did feel that I was being a little underutilized. However, that soon changed. and it was when I approached my CEO. My CEO was telling me, Melinda, you have potential. You're already doing things that are beyond your title. She was in full agreement. I really feel that you're the perfect candidate for ELI. So I joined, and I've gone from the administrative assistant to executive assistant to compliance officer, and I'm still going up. We haven't quite figured out what that exactly, I'm not too worried about a title. I know the direction it's going, but I have learned so much in every time, even now, when I'm attending one of my affinity groups, I'm always bringing back what we've brainstormed, what we've shared, what I've learned. I'm bringing that back to the whole director's team. I'm a part of the director's team, and everything that they do, they appreciate what I'm bringing back to the table. And I have now been able to implement what I've learned, especially with trainings and training other staff. Now I'm teaching in small groups, chunks of our staff, things that they need to know, and they need to know how to do to better support our agency, especially with CSBG, with NISCA, the Department of State. It's been nonstop, and some days it's a little hard for me to comprehend, but it's all good stuff. And we just keep thriving and making things better. And the more that I stick with the connections that I've made through with networking through ELI, the better it gets. I'm very appreciative to have this opportunity, and I'm just so happy. I will stay in it to the bitter end.
And Janelle, can you share with us a little bit about how participating in ELI 2.0 and creating this project has helped you to grow and develop your leadership skills?
Absolutely. Like I said in the beginning, for me, I had done a leadership program here at our agency that was offered by our executive director. And even for me to do that and growing into a department director where I am, I never saw within myself the opportunities similar to, I think, how Andrea said, I never saw the skill set within myself that other people saw within me. Having the opportunity to do these leadership programs has given me an opportunity to see my own professional abilities and has allowed me to continue to build on them. And it's extremely helpful when you have upper management looking at you and saying, I see something more in you. I want to push you harder. I see, and I was okay being direct service. I loved what I did. I loved serving the people that I did, but knowing that there was more opportunities for me and having the opportunities like this through NISCA with ELI to continue to grow as a professional. And for me, I think what it's done in going through the ELI, you know, 2.0 from 1.0 is being able to see something in the start of it and see that growth and see the trajectory and believe that it does provide you with the insight for yourself to want and continue to do more. And I think you had said in the beginning, Heidi, some people don't go on to 2.0 and that's okay. You know, that's totally okay what works for them. But for me, 2.0 was continued professional growth and for me to continue to challenge myself. And I was able to see that there's a lot more that I'm capable of doing that maybe I was able to recognize without these skills that have now been instilled in me that I try to pass down to my staff, and I encourage professional growth within them as well. So it's been an amazing process. And that ripple effect that Andrea had mentioned, you know, you are able to see the ripple effect of taking your leadership skills. And after we do these things and sharing them with others and just being able to continue that within yourself, because I think at no point do we ever stop learning and do we ever stop growing. So having these type of opportunities allows us to stay abreast of things that are out there for us and continue to be as successful as we are within our positions.
So we're going to get ready to wrap up, and I want to close with this one final question. And Janelle, I think that you really kind of led us to this question. What words would you, now that you've finished ELI 1.0 and 2.0, what would words of advice or what would you suggest to someone who is considering enrolling in the NISCA's Emerging Leader Institute?
This is Janelle, and for me, I would say absolutely take the opportunity. I would just, you know, if anybody had come to me and said, if one of my staff were to come to me and said, I saw this, what do you think? Should I do it? I would say, absolutely. This is an amazing opportunity and take it and run with it.
And Andrea, what would you say?
Yes, this is Andrea. I would say jump in with 2 feet. Just jump in. It's an awesome experience. You will just grow and learn from it.
Melinda? I know you have something to say to people who are considering it.
I encourage ELI every chance I get, especially with our staff. It is one of the best things that I've ever participated in for my agency, where I've learned the most, I've grown. You just embrace everything. And as long as you use what you're taught, you can only go up. I would strongly encourage. I don't want it to stop. I love the group. We just got to keep moving forward. But absolutely, 100%. If as long as your heart is in it for your agency and you don't plan on leaving anytime soon, this is the best thing for you to do. Take this class.
Thank you so much. So I think that's a great way for us to end our session of Lights, Camera, Community Action. And I want to once again thank Janelle, Andrea, and Melinda for joining us and sharing their experiences with Emerging Leaders Institute 1.0 and 2.0 and the Roma Cycle and how they use that to put their projects together. So ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and your knowledge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.